from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Excuse me, as we welcome in Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network. Joe, I'm tongue-tied, as you can hear, because of this dramatic walk-off by our Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets here. What'd you make of this one?
Yeah, first of all, one, I've been very wrong, and I'm always going to admit when I'm wrong. I was very wrong about Brent Key and the way that he's building this team. They were tough. They were very physical. They were punching Florida State in the mouth. The way that they were able to have so much success running the ball at the middle is very impressive. I don't know for certain how this year's going to pan. It's just such a tough schedule, but they're going to finish better than I originally anticipated. But I will say this, man, that is super concerning for Florida State on every level. I saw a team that didn't have any receivers that really flashed for me that can make big plays, that can be called upon. DJU was extremely erratic with his passing, his consistency, his accuracy. He was able to be strong on that final drive where he was able to connect with a bunch of guys over the middle. But, man, he was brutal early on in the game when they needed him to step up to the plate. But more importantly, the interior of their defensive line was Swiss cheese. They got ran all over. Their linebackers were late to react and to make plays. I am very worried, if I'm a Florida State fan, on how they're going to play the rest of the season. I don't think that they're going to completely crumble, but they are not good enough to beat Miami and to be back in the ACC championship conversation.
So based off of what you just saw, is it Clemson and Miami's division to lose conference?
I would say that Clemson, I need to see them play first, because there's a really good chance that Clemson could look as weak as Florida State did for some similar reasons. Clemson feels like the next most likely. I would actually put Virginia Tech in that conversation now. I really think that Virginia Tech is a sleeper. I think that their defensive line is going to punch a lot of people in the mouth. And Kyron Drones, that receiving core, is super underrated. But I keep coming back to this, and I've been saying this the whole offseason. This is now Miami's conference to lose. They have to take advantage of this opportunity. And I think that when they square up with Florida State, it's been proven to us today that DJU just is not the type of guy that when the game is on the line and he needs to build momentum for his offense, that he is going to be able to get his team back into the game and help facilitate and build momentum. So I really think that Miami is getting a huge stock up after this game before they've even stepped onto the field.
Talking with our buddy Joe DeLeon of the Believe Podcast Network, college and pro analyst. All right, so now that we just got our first upset, first little sample size here, Joe, what do you believe the margin of error for these major conferences to be?
Yeah, I think that, well, this is a really interesting way to look at this perspective. The first game of the season, we're graced with this unexpected upset. And I wouldn't classify it as like a crazy, huge, lopsided upset, but to the point of a team that was unranked beating a championship contender. I think where the margin of error is going to come into play is for those second and third teams for most of these conferences. Even for the SEC and the Big Ten, you can't have your third best team having losses to unranked opponents. Georgia Tech could finish ranked by the end of the year, but if you're a team like Penn State, if you finish 10-2 and you have a loss to a random unranked Big Ten team on your resume, you shouldn't be getting into the playoff, and I don't think that a team like that will. In the SEC, a team like Mizzou, maybe they suffer a weak loss. Those things are going to come into the conversation. I really think that this year there's potential for a lot of ACC teams to make it in, a lot of Big Ten teams, and maybe even some more Big 12 teams than projected.
We are all eyes now on Georgia and Clemson week one. Any reason to believe that they are not the 12-13-point favorite that they are tabbed to be?
Man, I don't know what to believe anymore after this game today. I really want to stay super locked in on my prediction for that Georgia Tech Clemson game. Things can get proven wrong with big spreads, apparently, but I'm still sticking with a huge amount of separation between the talent for Georgia and for Clemson at some key positions. Florida State coming into this game had question marks, and those question marks were answered pretty negatively. But I know what Georgia is offensively. I can trust Carson Beck. I know how he's going to handle situations going up against good defensive lines and good defenses like the one he's going to see against Clemson. But where the separation is going to be, I don't think that Clemson, if they go down by 10 points, is explosive enough on offense to quickly climb themselves back into a game. I think there's a possibility that they could keep it within 14, but Georgia, this feels like a splattering like they had 2 years ago in the Mercedes-Benz Dome when they played Oregon. I think this game could play out very, very similarly.
A lot of talk about Oregon today. Nice segue into my next question as we're talking with our buddy Joe DeLeon. A couple of big shots on ESPN today picked Oregon to win it all. Are you on that train?
I'm not in the win it all train because of the massive hurdle that they have in their way, which is Ohio State. I think if Ohio State was as good as they were last year, the conversation would be completely opened up. But they bring back so much talent, especially defensively. And I think in that head-to-head matchup, playing during the regular season, I think that Ohio State's going to win it on the road. And I think if they end up rematching in the Big Ten championship game, it's too much on Ryan Day's shoulders for him to not pull out that victory in the Big Ten championship game. I think that Ohio State is phenomenal. When you're a two-loss team, you're going to be good enough, and Oregon's going to be good enough to go on a playoff run. I think they're going to be tremendous this year. But I think that some of those losses that they suffer and some of their weaknesses that show up on film for teams to prepare for are going to eventually catch up to them. We just have to look at it in the scope of, can they beat Ohio State three times or a third time after losing twice, which Oregon couldn't do last year when they faced Washington two times? And are they good enough to beat Georgia? And I do not think that they're good enough just yet. They're almost there to compete with a team like Georgia, maybe 4 or 5 years away, but they are not there just yet to beat a team like Georgia.
Where are you on Alabama right now? Because everything I'm hearing and reading out of Tuscaloosa is that although it's different, Kalen DeBoer's doing just all right.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for Alabama that's been really surprising and super positive is the early recruiting impacts that he's had. Everybody, including myself, I wasn't so much doubting, but wanted to at least see what he could do, and my questions have been answered pretty quickly. But there were some aggressive doubters that were saying, this guy's not from the South, he's not going to know how to recruit the South, his coaching staff doesn't have enough guys who know how to recruit the South, he's going to struggle in recruiting. But they have one of the best, depending on what site you go to, one of the best recruiting classes in the country. And Keelan Russell is the real prize at the top of that, the quarterback recruit that they flipped from SMU that was bumped up to a 5-star. But the thing that I'm super optimistic about is that you've got a team that most of the starters were recruited by Nick Saban. The depth is pretty depleted because a lot of kids left in the portal. But the starters, most of them were recruited by Saban. And you get a brilliant in-game decision maker, Kalen DeBoer, to orchestrate things. I'm super excited for Jalen Milroe. I see the way that he progressed and helped a struggling decision maker in Michael Penix that had supreme traits to help him develop as quickly as he did at Washington and be a Heisman contender. I think that there is no doubt that Jalen Milroe is at least going to be in the conversation by the end of the year.
Does Ohio State have enough in the wide receiver room to replace what they've lost over the last couple of years?
Oh, absolutely. If there's one thing that I will never worry about, it is Ohio State not having enough receiver talent. It's kind of like with Notre Dame, where Notre Dame puts out two tackles to the NFL, but you know they're just lining up high four stars and five star kids that go on to be first round picks in the future to step right in. And Ohio State has that in bunches. Carnell Tate is somebody who I'm excited to see that was a freshman last year. They got some run, which it takes a lot for an Ohio State receiver as a true freshman to get onto the field. Emeka Ebuka, we forget about him. He's going to be potentially a first-round pick this year. I think it's likely he'll be a first-round pick. He's one of the best after-the-catch shifty receivers in the country, and he was banged up most of last year. Even when he was on the field, his production diminished because of him not being fully healthy. He looked great in the spring game, being back to seemingly full strength. I'm excited, though, also for Jeremiah Smith. I think that true freshman, Jeremiah Smith, is an unreal athlete. Not saying he's going to go for 1,000 yards and have a ridiculous record-breaking season, but the fact that you've got a kid like that in your room and he's as young as he is and he's having the level of impact that's being touted during camp, he is going to really be a star in the near future for them. But, no, I'm not worried. I think that, if anything, that might be one of their biggest offensive strengths to go along with the experience that they have at offensive line and how dynamic the running back room is.
Yeah, it's crazy considering the guys that have hit the NFL the last couple of years, and they just keep turning it over there. All right, who is your Heisman preseason vote going to right now? I think this is one of those years where you have a couple of really good candidates, like a Carson Beck or Quinn Ewers, but maybe not that one guy that was a lock like in years past.
Yeah, that's why I keep trying to pull a deeper name further down on lists. And he's been a bit of a riser in terms of Heisman odds, but I keep coming back to Cam Ward. I look at a guy who has first round traits, big arm, who has gaudy production. He had some gaudy production when he was an FCS quarterback and everything was going well for him. He steps into an offense with Jacoby George, Xavier Restrepo, a really good run game with Damian Martinez, who's one of the best running backs in the country, who almost feels like he was underserved in the coverage he received because he was playing at Oregon State. I think that that offense is going to be phenomenal. I really think that Miami is good enough to go as good as 11-1 this year. If they're 11-1, that means they win the ACC. They're going to be the 3 seed. They are going to be one of the best teams in the country this year. And if they're that good, it falls partially on the shoulders of Cam Ward. And we know that the media ourselves love to promote stories and guys that are the best players on the best teams. And if they are charging forward and he's got 30-plus passing touchdowns and some good rushing production, he is going to win that award, and I think that he is a name to watch.
All right, Joe, before I let you go, which coach maybe at a big-name school are you watching right now to be on the hot seat before the games are kicked off?
Yeah, the one that's the most obvious is Billy Napier. I feel like he's, and it's no hot take to say this, he's a sitting duck at this point. The schedule that he has is completely brutal. But I will say this, if we watch today in Brent Key, a coach who is dealing with an insanely hard schedule and not backing down. And if Billy Napier can prepare his team for some of these difficult matchups to at least put up a fight for them to finish 6-6, 7-5, maybe that buys him some time. But Billy Napier is easily the first one that comes to mind just because of the daunting schedule and the lack of success on the field and some of the deficiencies in recruiting that have happened recently, that he is the most likely candidate to get let go.
Along that same vein, any chance Colorado gets sick of Deion's you-know-what and kicks him out?
I think for all the antics, especially recently with him revoking access to a reporter, I thought that was brutally inappropriate. No matter how critical somebody's going to be of you, you really shouldn't be doing that if you're a coach. He still has a right to cover the team, and it's of his responsibility to do so. outside of that, though, the amount of exposure Colorado's received and the amount of admissions increases that they've had, he is invaluable to that university. They could go 4-8, 5-7 this year and be pretty bad, and I think they're going to give him a ridiculous amount of leeway because of that brand. As long as people are talking about them, good exposure is, you know, any exposure is good exposure for that university. Right now, that they're becoming a nationally talked about school and not just somewhere in the state of Colorado, I don't think that there will be any point where they decide to move on from them. It would really take like a series of some significant issues there for them to maybe decide to get rid of them.
Joe, appreciate the time. As always, enjoy the rest of the games this weekend. It is finally here.
Of course. Thanks for having me, as always.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.